Grab your Bibles this morning and let's get ready to receive and prepare our hearts for God's word. Lord, thank you for today that we gather together in your name and in your presence, the power of an almighty God, the creator of the universe, the one that knows us by name, that every person here, those that are watching online, that God, that you're looking out for them, that you're calling them, that you're drawing us closer to you. And so God, that's what we pray today, that we would just lift up your name, that you'll draw people to you, that today will just be a breath of fresh air, that people, the loads will be lighter, the weights will be easier, Lord, the day, this week, Lord, it'll just be stronger in your presence. And Lord, just give us ears to hear what your spirit would say to us in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read our theme verse. I do want to thank Pastor Morgan for ministering last week on encouragement and Barnabas. And I'm sorry, it's Pastor Morgie. Is that how that goes? All right. He shared all the nicknames on that too. So, and by the way, it's not Nike. It was Gatorade, my youth group. They would, I dream I move. I dream I groove. I want to be like Mike. Anyways, all right. If you were not here last week, I just had to clarify that. But anyways, a great message about being people of encouragement and being an encourager, but being around people that are encouraging and letting God use that to make a difference in people's lives. And we're really going to build on that a little bit more. But we've been, previous to that, we've been in the series trying to define a word, trying to help people understand a picture of a word that's used over 100 times in the Bible that we don't really fully grasp or really embrace in our culture today. But throughout the Bible, it talks about this idea about being anointed or the anointing of God. And we've just tried to draw a picture so to help people understand a little bit, because you're more than you know. Come on now, that you just think you're just a, you know, flesh and blood, that you're just going, you know, you work hard, you know, you love your family, you go through life, you do whatever your responsibilities are, but you're more than you know, that you've been called, that you've been appointed, that you're anointed, that there's a presence of God. And it's not confined to church. Someone say, yes, that's right. So that we don't come visit God on Sundays. Come on, somebody. That we get to check in and on Sundays, they're like, all right, I'm going to go visit God. No. Every day we get to experience his presence, that we understand that he's given us his spirit, that when we surrender our life to him, that he gives us his spirit that lives in us, and that the Spirit of God anoints us. And I'm going to talk today a little bit more about what that looks like. But we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, but you know, what it is, what the anointing is the purpose, what it does, the value and the importance of it, how it impacts our daily life. We'll talk about living out in the anointing. But understanding this at the very essence, the idea or the premise of being anointed is this: being set apart or empowered, meaning God's power, God's authority, that his purpose is on you, that there's a holiness that he imparts to us, that we can live in righteousness. There's a protection. We talked about that last week with the oil and the lamb's heads. And again, throughout scripture, the Lord, you anoint my head with oil, the picture of what the shepherd does to a lamb, that there's protection. And then there's the blessing and the favor of God, that all of those things are wrapped up. And there's a part of the anointing of God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God, is also this idea of the purpose. Everyone say purpose. That there's a purpose to each and every one of our lives. And so understanding that whatever it is that you need, that he's given that to you. We learned that in the first week in our theme verse or theme chapter in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, by his divine power, by the power of God, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life, or for life and godliness. So he's given us whatever it is that you need in this life and the one to come. He's given you everything you need to live the life that he's calling you to live. He's given you his spirit to live in you. Come on now, that we can live and experience the fullness of what he has. But he's given you everything you need. So when you think about that in every aspect of your life, what is it that I need? And there's going to be some days that you just need peace. He says, you know what? I've got peace for you today. There's other times that you need to have a little bit of patience. Come on, somebody. Anyone? Just me. All right. So, but he's saying, you know, when you need that, I have that for you. When you need grace in your life, when you've messed up, come on now, when you've made mistakes and you've done things that you know that you shouldn't have done, or things that you know that hurt the heart of God, that he said, you know, there's grace. Whatever it is that you need, whatever life may challenge you with, or whatever questions you have, he answers it and says that he's going to give you everything that you need. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it gives us a understanding of how, for us personally, on a personal side, that we could experience that. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it says this: "And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he's promised." That he's given us a deposit, guaranteeing that he's going to come back, but he's given us his Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, it says, "The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead." You hear us quote that a lot. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That you're a big deal. You know, there's more to you than what people see and what people know just on the outside of things. And of course, out of Luke chapter 4, where Jesus gives his job assignment, when he gives his mission statement, he says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to proclaim good news, to set the captives free. That presence, that Spirit is on our lives. And it's such a weighty thing that we get to realize that each and every day that when I live, in fact, in Acts it says, "In him you move and live and have your being." That in every aspect of your life that you get to carry the presence, come on, of God, the anointing of God, that he set you apart, he's empowered you, he's appointed you, and he's called you. And so today I want to give you some practical ways that we live this out, that he gives us his Spirit. And we talked about in week two, we identified different ways that God has anointed us, or what the anointing does, and we talked about, we read out of Exodus, the abundant anointing, that it's more than you need, it's costly, the fragrant, how people should sense God working in our life. We talked about how it brings holiness. There was two things that I want to hit today, and I told you 2 weeks ago that we would jump in today, but the anointing of God, the presence of God, the power of God gives us action, things that we do. It's not for us to hold on to, but it's things that we get to live, and how powerful and effective his anointing is. But the last thing we talked about was that it was for others. And we're going to end with that today, understanding what that looks like and what that principle is in God's timing, God's plan. And so for all of us, understanding the anointing and the presence and the Spirit of God, that his Spirit is with us and he anoints us, not just with the protection, not just being set apart, not just for holiness and righteousness, but it's that idea, man. Remember that anointing means us to rubbing on, but it was on the outside and on the inside. So there's an anointing on the inside to change us from the inside out, and there's something on the outside of us that allows God to work through us in people's lives. And so for each and every one of us as Christ followers, he wants to work in each and every one of us. And let me just lay a little bit of groundwork, and I'm going to give you really three things that allow us to understand in the natural how that makes a difference, but then really how the action of our life works. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "I knew you before I formed you." So God's speaking to Jeremiah, and he's going to instill a principle that's true for all of us. Before you were born, he says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as my prophet to the nation." That God is communicating something, that before you took your first breath, I already knew you. I already knew my plans for you. I already knew what I had in store for you. And I had already set you apart and I appointed you. For each and every one of us, God was already prepared for you. When you showed up, come on, he didn't just like, "Oh, I got to make a plan for them." Oh, you know, Julie's here now. What in the world will I let Julie do? He says, before I made you, before I created you, I already had a plan. I already appointed you. I already set you apart, that there was something that I had special that was unique, that only, come on, you could do, that only you could be, that would be the dream that God places in your heart. And there's natural and there's supernatural or spiritual ways that God gives us gifts in order to live that out each and every day. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's a passage that lists several of these, but it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Different gifts, same Spirit. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. But God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in what? In what? In all. So you hear two words a lot in those two verses. What? Different and the same. That there's different gifts, but what? The same God. That there's different callings, but it's the same God. That there's different. So each and every one of you have a unique deposit or anointing or gift from God, but it's the same God that works in us. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. That this picture that each and every one of us, that it's we're different, but it's the same God. So he uniquely created a plan and a purpose and appointed you and has called each and every one of you to fulfill different roles and assignments and opportunities. And I hate to call it an assignment because it feels like a job or responsibility, but really it's opportunities that God gives us to live our lives in such a way that we get to express who he is to those around us, that there's this opportunity for us to be his hands and feet extended. So Romans 12, another passage, and I've got a lot of verses today, but so just stay with me, they're on the screen. Romans chapter 12, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts, and this is what I want you to catch, for doing certain things well. That God has given you different gifts for doing certain things well. So it goes on and talks about, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out, and it goes on and talks about faith, it talks about serving, it talks about teaching, it talks about encouraging, it talks about giving, it talks about leadership, about kindness. It's like all of these things are ways that you show his presence, his anointing, his Spirit on your life. But I want you to catch that phrase, that first sentence, that he's given us different gifts, what? For doing certain things, what? Well. Now, how many of you know that some people are better at some things than you are? If I tried to cook, come on, somebody, I'm terrible. I can barbecue, all right? I can turn on the barbecue. I can get it to the 450 degrees. I can follow directions that are given on how to make a specific chicken, but I'm terrible. In fact, the only times I've cooked, I have a greater appreciation for my wife. And yes, honey, I know it's not very often. But when I do cook, you know the biggest challenge I have? Is it all being ready, come on, at the same time. Like I don't know how she does it. I mean, it's just one of those things that she's organized and she's meticulous and she's thoughtful, you know, and I'll just wing it. You're like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and oh, that's a half hour. Okay, this is going to be ready. This is going to take only 10 minutes. So we'll start with this as the dessert, is the appetizer. Come on, somebody. The idea is, though, that you have different gifts and abilities. When it comes to, I had the opportunity to be on vacation with my kids and we were playing, what was the name of that game with the little blocks? What's it called? Bananagram? It's like Scrabble with no board. All right, so, and I'm just watching. And you draw letters and you have to spell words and I'm just the worst. You know, it's like I need the guy. You know, like, give me math problems. Come on, somebody. That there's just some things that people are better at. But you know what? That's the beauty, come on, of how God's created us. That there are things that, Justin, you're better at than I am. I can't play the guitar like that. I would be terrible. You would all run there. There's just ways that God's saying, uniquely, I'm going to gift you. Uniquely, I'm going to allow you to excel in this way that, there's different gifts for doing certain things well. There's things that maybe you don't even give yourself credit for that you can do well. Because that's what God said. Some of you administratively, you can do that. Others of you you're a joyful person and you're contagious. You do it well. That you are what you heard about last week. In fact, that's one of the spiritual gifts about being an encourager, that you can just have the ability to lift other people up, that you have the opportunity that your smile makes a difference, that your serving makes a difference, that all of these things the presence or the gift of God, the anointing, I mean, of God, allows us to be empowered to do those things at a whole different level. It's not just your natural bent, but God created you that way. It's the way that God's anointing. So the certain gifts for doing certain things well, certain things that you'll do better than others, that's going to be a gift. That's going to be an anointing. That's going to be a presence of God that you learn that. Some of you think, well, I learned my trade, or years of discipline and study and hard work. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who helped you do that? That God gave you that desire to pursue that degree or to pursue that field or that education or that job or that assignment, whatever it is, that God's given you a unique thing to do something well. So you might look at it and say, I don't know anything. You have it. It's in you. The Bible promises it. And there are certain things that you can look at that things that God uses to shape us. I'm just going to go real quick through this so I can get to the last part about how we live, the action part and the others part that we talked briefly about 2 weeks ago. But God uses different things in our life to shape and mold us, to use us in different ways. The first thing, he uses our natural gifts and talents or abilities. Those are things that we were born with, that God hardwired you. Maybe it's math or science or academics or art or athletics or whatever the spectrum may be. That there are certain things that God's just naturally gifted and talented and give you abilities that shape you. Psalm 139, I don't know if we have that, Psalm 139, 13 and 14, talks about that you were made delicately, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Put verse 14 up there. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. So you have an excuse right now when somebody says, man, you are just complex. Thank you. God did a good job. I'm complicated. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. There's this uniqueness that he crafted and created each and every one of us so uniquely with a design and with a purpose to use that he shapes us with those things, that there are certain things that you're just going to enjoy more, excel more, and do more. The second thing that helps shape the gifting, the calling, the anointing is just our natural passions, our desires, the interests, the things that we have that we see or that we pursue, things that motivate you, things that help you get up in the morning, things that you look forward to, that God uses those things in our life to help us express the gift, the anointing, the appointment, the calling that he has, that he works in you, that you realize that even your work, come on, somebody, can be worship to God. As you use those natural gifts and talents and those passions and interests, that as you live those out, that you realize that I'm glorifying God by being the best I can be with where he's placed me and what he has for me. And in Psalm 37, verse 4, it talks about delighting yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And that doesn't mean I'm going to delight in God and he's going to give me a Corvette. Come on, somebody. The delight is this opportunity to experience him, to be in this close relationship with him, and then understanding that all of a sudden then my desires become, how do I live in a way that honors him? How do I bring delight to him? And it will bring joy to us. And when we delight with God and you walk in this relationship with him as the creator of the universe, he develops and allows those natural things to become supernatural. The third thing God uses is our experiences, the things that we go through, that God never wastes experiences, both good and bad. What's Romans 8:28 teaches us, that all things work together for good, for those that are called according to his purposes, that God works the good and the bad together for his glory and our good. that he takes those and he shapes them. And, you know, the Bible talks about with the same encouragement you've received or the same blessing, the same love that you received, that we should be giving that to others with the same way that God has encouraged or that God has strengthened you or that God's given you peace, that we get to give that or share that with other people. So the experiences I go through allow me to have an opportunity to be a voice to others, to be somebody that helps others, that encourages others, that blesses other people. Romans, again, in chapter 12, verse 6, it goes on and helps us understand even in a greater way. It says that in his grace, God has given us, again, the different gifts of doing certain things well. It says, so if God has given you the ability, then you should do that. And it lists seven or eight of them right there. That so if he's done that, then how do you live that out? Because he's empowering you. He's authorized you. He's enabled you. But here's where I want you to capture as we close this morning. There's going to be this primary role and the secondary role. And what I just described to you, the things that you maybe do, that work is your worship, that your character, your giftings, your natural abilities, your experiences, all those things that have shaped you that you get to use in life, you begin to bring intention to those. But there's this assignment that God gives us that's what I would say is the higher calling, really the primary purpose that he anoints us for action. He anoints us to be able to make a difference. I'm going to give you just a couple snapshots of this, but I hope you'll embrace this, that tomorrow when you wake up, that you realize that you're more than you know, that God's presence is with you, his power, his anointing, his calling is on you to do exactly what you're doing, but to do it that makes a kingdom impact. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is where I get the down the street, across the border, and around the world. You've heard me share this many times. But it says that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That is the anointing at its highest. The Holy Spirit comes on you. His presence lives in you. And it says these words, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So Jerusalem is down the street, of course, and then Judea's across the border, and Samaria and the ends of the earth are around the world. That's the picture that God's called us to do. And you have a calling. You live it every day. But you have a higher calling, a primary calling. That in Acts 1:8, that he says that you'll be my witnesses everywhere you go, every place that you find yourself, that you will be a representative of who I am, that you're going to be a witness. You're going to be the one that people will look at and say, there's something real, something genuine about them, that there's something different that only can be explained with this supernatural presence of God. The opportunity to be his witnesses means that he's given us an assignment, not just in the natural to do what we've been gifted to do, but to be ambassadors, to share the story and the good news of Jesus, that we get to help other people realize that God loves them, that God has a plan for them, that God has a purpose for their life. And I just want to quickly read this and just deposit this in your spirit. Because this high calling for all of us is to be his witnesses, to be the people that reflect who he is, to show his love so that people will know, that people can experience who Jesus is. You know, in 2 Peter, it talks about this. It says that Jesus came so that no one would perish. In fact, it says this, he's not slow in keeping his promises. He's patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but have everyone, that everyone should repent and come to a saving knowledge of him, to experience his kindness, that we get to be the representative. So all those things that work in my life, his presence, the spirit, is so that I can be a witness as well, that I can allow other people to know. Luke 19:10 says Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. It meant so much to him that he would give it all. And he's like, I'm going to anoint you that you can be my witnesses in the way you live, and in the way you treat people, the way you act. Romans chapter 10 says, dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is that the people of Israel, is that they'll be saved. That he makes this declaration that I want the people around us, I want the people we're in contact to know this God, that they're anointed, that God has a calling on my life to be a witness so other people can experience salvation, forgiveness, freedom. And it's just a prayer that if we were to rewrite this prayer, we would say it this way. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is that the people of Concord, come on somebody, will be saved. That the people of Pleasant Hill will be saved. That the people of Pittsburgh will be saved. The people of Clayton, come on somebody, will be. That's what he's saying, that the people that are around us, that they'll know, and that I get to carry with me this promise that I'm a witness. All of the things that he's done for me, I walk through them and I have this opportunity now to express them to others. Verse 2, I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's been misdirected zeal, for they don't understand God's ways of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's ways, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law, trying to be good enough. It's going to go on and talk about the two struggles people have. One is that they look at life and they think, I'm good. I look at my life compared to people that call themselves Christians and I'm not any worse off than them. My character, my morals, I'm better than that guy or I'm better than that girl. That they look at and they think that I'm good enough, that I don't need this. Or other people look at it like, I'm too far gone. But what do we do? How do we be a witness? There's just some very practical ways. The first thing is, we see this, that he prayed for people. God cares more about the prayer of our heart than the perfection of our life. You think, oh, I got to be so good to maybe share with people or to let people know that I'm Christian. No. He's saying, I just started praying for people. Come on now. I just started just bringing people's names before the throne room of heaven, and I'm just going to believe people. So my thing is, I think that a lot of times we get comfortable thinking, I'm going to heaven, I'm good. Come on, somebody. But the person down the street, they're not going to heaven, they're going to hell. And somebody's got to interrupt their life to let them know that there's a God in heaven that loves them, that doesn't want them to spend eternity separated from him. That they get to experience this love. And so he starts this idea of that he's praying. So I want to encourage you today that I want you to just think about, maybe there's one or two people in your life that are far from God, that have turned their back on God or are walking away from God. Maybe you can just write their name somewhere on a note, on a sticky note inside your Bible or somewhere, or whenever the Spirit of God brings them to your mind, that you just pray, God, save them. Julie and I were just talking this week about some people that had been a part of Life Church in the past, and you see some of the posts that they put on social media and your heart breaks because it's this adversarial to God. But God loves people. And my responsibility is I got to pray for people. Moses prayed that God would forgive Israel. He says, if you don't forgive them, then take my name off your book. That I am so passionate that they'll know you and turn to you that I wouldn't want to go without them. The opportunity to realize that people that are far from God will spend eternity separated from him. So what do? It's very simple. I start by praying. Writing somebody's name down that you'll just continue to pray and to believe God. If I read more, in fact, I'll just read a little bit more of this. I'll skip ahead in Romans chapter 10. It says in verse 11, as the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who what? Call on him. Verse 13, for everyone, I love that, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Every person. So think about this. If we can live our life being a witness and being somebody that helps other people see and know and experience God, that it doesn't matter. It says everyone can come to a state. The atheist, the agnostic, the anti-God, the broken, the bruised, and the bitter, the calloused heart, or the coldest of heart. It says that anyone that calls on the name of the Lord, that they will be saved. And it's so amazing. He goes on here. He goes, how does this happen? And four times he's going to ask the question, how can somebody experience that kind of love, that kind of grace, that kind of power? And he says in verse 14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's what the scriptures say. And then he answers the four questions of how with the biggest how. And this is where we come in. And I should have called my message this, that you have beautiful feet, but that's just not true. But God calls our feet beautiful. He says this, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. And when you think about our life, that God's calling us to be a light for him, that we're anointed, and all those benefits that I talked about earlier are part of our inheritance. I love to talk about God's blessing and God's favor. Favor's not fair. You know, it's not fair. It's favor that you know, God's, you know, blessing on our life. But there's more. There's this action. There's this opportunity that God takes the everyday parts of my life, and he allows me to be a witness for him, to be his light. And he says that how beautiful are the feet, and feet speak about the serving part of the body, that we're his hands and our feet. So we write somebody's name down and we just start praying. But then he talks about this, how can this happen? It's people that are being sent, or people that will use their feet, or people that will literally serve and love people. See, there's gonna be people around us that are going to hate the church and hate Christians. They'll hate our message. They'll hate what we stand for, hate what we believe in. But you know what they can't hate is when you love people and you serve people. So when my heart is, how do I serve? How do I love? It just breaks down walls and barriers. I'll serve those I don't agree with. I'll love people that might turn their back on me or that might hate me. That how do I do that? How do I live that? Well, he's anointed me to do that. He's anointed you to do that. And it's how beautiful are the feet. It didn't say how eloquent is the preacher. Come on, somebody. He doesn't say, I'm looking for another silver-tongued preacher to preach the good news. No. I'm looking for people that will serve and love people, to be my witnesses, that they'll know, that they'll experience what life is all about. That people can see my life and say, there's something different. Or people can, I could say, you know what? Taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Would you stand with me? And I just want to close in prayer. Proverbs 11:30 tells us that those that win souls is wise. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, but you should be clear-minded in every situation. And it says this, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news. And here it is. And fully carry out the ministry God has given you. The mission of God. You're on mission. You are ambassadors. You are witnesses. You've been anointed and appointed, gifted for all those things. But you are on assignment with God. So Lord, right now, I just pray as a church that, Lord, that you'll challenge our heart first and foremost to pray for people, to bring those. I think of the mom that has a son that's far from you, that would never quit praying because they know that in a moment you could change a heart and a life, that they would never give up on their own children, that we should have that tenacity of our spirit, that we would pray for those that are far from you, that God, you would allow us to be your hands and your feet, to speak your words, to genuinely love people, everybody. Embrace and to serve. And God, may Life Church be known as a church that loves people and serves our community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, remember, this month we're doing the diaper drive. Next month we have our I Serve Sunday. And you notice there's, when we go out, people are like, well, are you preaching the gospel? We're preaching the gospel by our actions. When we do our I Serve Sunday, we just bless our community. And we just love people and just serve them. And so those are ways. And when we give to missions that man, we want to serve. We want to love. We want to bless. And you're going to be a part of that. Today, if you're here, maybe there's things that you're walking through or you're going through that you just want somebody to come into agreement in prayer. These altars are open. We would love to pray with you. Before you run out, you know, just let us just stand in agreement with you. Other than that, just know that we love you. We're praying for you. I do want to just remind you, I told you a couple months ago and a couple times that about the nomination, you know, my nomination for president of Open Bible. And so that happens Wednesday. So I would covet your prayers. But this is what I know. Whatever happens, God knows, and God has a plan. So I will give my dying breath to live out the plans and purpose that God has for my life, just like I would for your life and for our church. So Life Church, our plans, our future, God's desire is bigger than what we know, greater than where we've been. But I always say this, that my dreams are bigger than my memories and greater than my realities. I want you to live that way, with a dream that God can do anything. Tanisha, anything is possible. And God's involved. And so I just want to, again, continue to ask Pastor for your Mike. Prayers. And next Sunday, we'll talk Pastor about Mike. That. And we'll have a great time. So,
as you're talking about this, Julie, could you come up so we can pray for you guys? Because this is a big week. A huge week. And like, I'm proud and honored to be serving at Life Church under your leadership. And to know what you guys are nominated for is very big. I feel almost like cooler than everybody else. But yeah, so if you guys could join us up here, and then we're just going to pray for you guys for this week. So the Lord does what he needs to do and what he has planned in your guys' life. But no matter what it is, whether it's a yes or a no, I know that you guys are going to do great things for our community, for the world. Let's say it like that. So if you guys could just stretch out your hands this way so we can pray over them and just bless them. And Father God, I just thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for the fact that you do know us. You know the number of hair that we have on our head, or Father God, you know like the actual color of our eyes. And Father, you know our ins and outs. And Father, I just lift up Pastor Mike and Julie right now. God, that this is a huge moment that is coming up this week. And God, I just thank you that they've been nominated, first off. And we just know that whatever your answer is, whatever your will is, whether it's a yes or a no, Father God, I know that you are in the midst of everything, that you don't have a plan to follow a plan, or that we have to be in confusion, or we have to be scared or fearful of what's to come, Father God, because you are in control. So Father, I just thank you for this nomination, and I thank you for Pastor Mike and Julie, and God, for the great, amazing, powerful, mighty things that they're going to do, Father God. Whether it's here or it's nationally, Jesus, I just thank you for their hearts. I thank you for the vision. I thank you for the dreams that they have, Father God. I pray that you pour more into them, Jesus, that every day there will be more of you, more visions, more dreams, Father God, more, as a matter of fact, or plans or things that need to be brought up, Father God. And I just thank you that you have called them for such a time as this. God, that this is not by mistake, that God, you know why you want them in this position, Father God. So I thank you for what your plans are, and I think that we can trust you and love you with these plans. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. All God's people said, come on, give God a shout of praise.
Amen.